Welcome back to another episode of Trigger. This is episode 607, Wednesday, May 27th. I'm Corey Ganimore. Welcome, Matt Vespa. How's it going?
Good, man. It's a great day. Not a good day for John Cornyn.
Not a good day for John Cornyn. We'll get to that in a second, but first I want to say it's a good day for New York Knicks fans. Yes. Vespa has been on a high for a couple weeks now. This is some historic run they're going on, huh?
Yes, it is. It's the greatest 11-game stretch in NBA history.
Plus 71 points
differential. I mean, the closeout games, like, they're beating teams by, well, at the time it was 40. The blowout win, over the Cleveland Cavaliers in game 4 actually lowered it was 40 points average in closeout games. It went down to 39. It's ridiculous. Great. So, first finals trip since 1999. I've been waiting a long time for this. The Knicks are good. They're rolling. They're clicking. I haven't slept in 2 days.
Well, congratulations to you. I'm rooting for them, not because I give a shit about the NBA or the New York Knicks, but I'm a Matt Vespa fan, and he's happy, I'm happy. So go Knicks. You know who else is a Knicks fan, apparently? And I guess it's not surprising, but he doesn't really attend too many NBA games. Our president of the United States, Donald Trump, apparently wanted to attend game 5 at the Garden in New York City, but the Knicks swept, so he didn't get a chance. So he may be making an appearance at the NBA Finals. I'm not sure if the fan base of basketball are necessarily fans of President Donald Trump. If he gets on that big screen, is that a risk for the president to attend? Because, you know, I've attended Nationals games where he gets put on baseball and he's booed. Game's a little different, but basketball, I'm not sure if the optics will work too well. What do you think?
I don't know. I think he'll definitely get booed. He might not go. You know, it's whoever wins the West. The Knicks are on the road, I believe. So
yeah.
You know, the first two games are either going to be at OKC or San Antonio. So maybe he might, you know, things change, dude. I mean, look at the Camp David meeting. It was bad weather, so it was changed or something. So
I mean, he might go.
He'll be in a box, obviously. Or, yeah. I mean, you know him. He would love to be courtside.
But yeah, I don't know about that.
That's just, you just can't do that. You just can't do that. But you know he would love to be courtside no matter what. But yeah, he'll get booed a little bit. It'll be I would say it'll be like a quick 5 to 10 second thing on the jumbo, and then it'll go on to Celebrity Row.
Yeah, and usually they do it at least at Nats games while there's a military salute going on or honoring our military's returning home. So it kind of hushes the crowd a little bit because obviously everyone supports those guys. But we'll see. He may have to spend some attention to his love of the United States and the situation going on with Iran. Just the same exact reason why he couldn't attend his son's wedding this past weekend. We'll see. Well, he might, but I don't know. It'll be interesting. Go Knicks. Go New York. Go.
Let's
New York,
go.
And I'm rooting for you, Vespo. It'll be a fun ride. Someone who
and we'll be live tweeting that on the Town Hall Twitter account.
Oh, the Knicks games.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure who the target audience is for.
I just decided. I just issued an executive decree. I'll be doing it.
All right. And hopefully we get someone to click on it.
Exactly. Well, maybe. Who knows?
Another big matchup took place last night. John Cornyn, the incumbent senator from Texas, obviously running against Attorney General Ken Paxton. And this one, we had an idea how it would turn out. We assumed Ken Paxton would win after Donald Trump's endorsement. It turned out to be a freaking blowout.
It was a blowout like in Cleveland, man. It was terrible.
28-point margin. It was 63.8 to 36.2%. Yeah. Absolute bloodbath. Yeah. And it has everything to do with Donald Trump's endorsement. And, well, before that, John Cornyn being kind of, not so MAGA, if you will. Before we get into this, Storm, who wishes he could be with us right now on Triggered, told me, he texted me this, make sure to convey my happiness about Cornyn getting crushed. Sorry, can't do that episode today. Would have loved to. That's what that cocksucker gets for years of rhino betrayal that I fought against. So Storm's happy too. So Cornyn conceded last night. He says he'll support the Republican ticket, but he's obviously not happy. Here's how some of that sounded last night.
After a public service career lasting more than 4 decades and 18 consecutive campaign wins, tonight,
Actually, that's a problem too. 18 consecutive campaign wins. How the hell long has this guy been in Congress?
Ooh.
We've come up short in this primary runoff. You know, a few years ago, I had a friend of mine say, "You know what makes God laugh?" He said, "When we make plans." I've spent most of my time in the Senate building the Republican Party in Texas and in the U.S. Senate, and I've always supported the Republican ticket, and I intend to do so again in this general election.
All right, so that's a good thing. I don't know who
Yeah.
are diehard Cornyn enthusiasts, but an old Cornyn only Cornyn. You'd assume 96% of his voters are going to come over to Paxson. I sure hope so. But Cornyn, at the end of the day, nailed his own coffin. He sold us out on gun rights. He refused to get aggressive about the Save America Act, which actually saved Ken Paxton's entire political career. He put out that tweet earlier. He said, "I'll bow out of this race if John Cornyn, supports the Save Act." And it turned out no action was ever taken by Cornyn. So Donald Trump obviously endorsed Paxton instead. So Cornyn's gone. Paxton is the nominee, and he's running against an absolute freak, James Talafrico. He's an unbelievable. Is that a good nickname or
Yeah,
what?
I like it. Yeah.
James Talafrico. You can call him Vegan Boy Talafrico. There are seven genders, Rico, whatever you want to call him. But he's a total nut job. And anybody who says that, "Oh, I can't vote for Ken Paxton because he doesn't follow my Christian virtues," because yeah, he's got some skeletons in his closet. He wasn't the most true to his wife, that kind of stuff. But no one's gonna be, offended by what Ken Paxton has done and said, "You know what? I'm going to cast my vote for James Talarico." Here's what I think is so far the best ad of this campaign. It was released by Lone Star Liberty PAC. Just play this over and over and over again in Texas, and I don't see Texans getting on board with this guy.
The Democrats have a weird candidate.
God is not binary. There are many more than two biological sexes. In fact, there are six. It is now existential that we try to reduce our meat consumption. The American flag is such a complicated symbol for most of us. Prophetic voices like Jesus have helped me reckon with my own whiteness, my own masculinity. Our southern border should be like our front porch. There should be a giant welcome mat out front. No need to sit and cry over, your whiteness or your masculinity. They're going to call me a radical leftist.
Something that you love that's not family or friends.
I'm just saying this because it's on my mind, the trans children.
The Democrats have a weird candidate.
Low T Tallarico, too weak for Texas. Lone Star Liberty PAC is responsible for the content of this ad.
I mean, who the hell's going to vote for this guy?
Gay James. That's what they're basically trying to say.
You think Texans want a vegan in office? I mean, this is the cattle.
Well, did you see they had like a I forget what ma I think it was Texas. I forget what fucking magazine had like a, he was on the cover.
Time.
And yes, and it's almost the exact same as Beto when he ran. And
Oh, yeah.
it's like, what the fuck are these people thinking? We got a guy like that in Texas, and then we got like a Nazi in Maine. So I don't know what's going on,
I
but
mean, they're picking the craziest dudes. And everybody.
And I just think, our side, look, we're going to have to spend money in Texas, okay? I get it. I it's a sucky narrative. It's a red state. We shouldn't have to. But I guarantee you that we would have had to spend more if Cornyn had won his the runoff.
Yeah, I mean.
Because the base doesn't like him. He's not going to be able to make money. I know I'm listing reasons for why he lost the runoff election, but I'm just saying, like, let's say the roles were reversed, man. Like, we would have to do twice as much heavy lifting to drag
Exactly.
his ass over the line. So, you know what? It's what it is. And also, it's May. things change. Look what happened with like the gerrymandering thing. We were dead in the water. We were going to lose, like, we're going to, like, you know, only win like 185 fucking seats or something, shit like that. And then the Supreme Court decision on redistricting. Now we have a shot to actually retain the House, and we've had probably one of the best weeks politically, you know, in a long time. So, I just look. I mean, 65. I mean, he got 64. PACs got 64%. The internal polling likely showed that Cornyn was going to lose months ago or weeks ago. So it's like, you know, Trump did his thing. My God. You know, it's just I was expecting him to actually lose by like 10 to 15. I wasn't expecting 27 fucking points, but
Yeah, I
you
mean,
know.
who's passionately pro Cornyn? He doesn't really give
Yeah.
a reason to show up. And if
I
you're
mean, and you
establishment.
nailed it, man. You know, no save, you know, Save America Act, immigration. And for me, it was 2022. I turned my back on Cornyn on 2022 when he decided to side with the Dems on guns.
Sure.
And texted Chris, then, you know, Kristen Sinema, you know, I don't care what the people say. We're doing the right thing right now. You know, and the, you know, just, you know what? Fuck you, dude. I mean, that is one issue where if you betray the party, I don't care what you're, I'm done with you. I'm done with you. And, you know, I don't know if you saw that clip, Corey, of like all the exit voters, all the local news state, you know, stations interviewing people leaving the polls. Like one lady was like, he got soft. Literally said that. I think Pat, well, I voted for Paxson because Cornyn got soft. I'm like, shh. Not as soft as James Tallarico, but you know, pretty soft.
So I think we're gonna do fine in that state. You know, everyone was panicking about Beto O'Rourke how many times, and oh, he's just new, so new, cool, and hip, and whatever. He's
Oh,
got ten
he's so
times the
faster than
charisma as
Cornyn.
James Talafrico. Like, he is actually just like a freak. Beto's a weird dude, but like James Talarico is just nutty as hell. Here's another thing he said recently that won't fly well with Texans. He said that the Bible never talks about abortion at all.
Jesus never talks about abortion. The Bible is silent on abortion. And when that happens with a social issue as important as abortion, we Christians have to take scripture as a whole, and we've got to try to make some kind of ethical determination.
I don't think many Christians in Texas would agree with that the Bible is silent on abortion, because I'm pretty sure the Bible says thou shalt not kill. So I don't know where he's coming from on this, and I really don't think that this is going to fly well with Texans. We'll see. Lots to go, but I'm hoping polling looks really good sooner than later, and maybe we can spend a little less money than we originally thought. Another election night result from last night. The crazy Al Green, congressman from Texas, he's that dude who was waving a cane at President Trump at the State of the Union, yelling at him, got kicked out. Complete crazy dude, 78 years old. Well, he'll finally be retired from Congress because he lost his primary last night to Texas Democrat Rep. Christian Menefee. These were two congressmen facing off at each other at a newly drawn district. So goodbye to Al Green. Donald Trump, of course, had the truth about it online. He said, "Congratulations to the Democrat Party. Al Green, one of the most mentally deficient congressmen in the history of our country, has lost in a landslide his seat in Congress. But I will miss that lunatic not screaming and violently waving his cane at me during my next State of the Union speech. America, make America great again." So good riddance to Al Green. It was fun while we got to know you. I kind of enjoyed this shenanigans. It was fun to watch, and especially seeing Mike Johnson have him thrown out of Congress. So that was good news. And
What was the margin for that, Corey?
what was the margin for that? It was, I think it wasn't particularly close.
Not to put you on the spot. I just, I mean,
Christian Menefee got, actually, it was a blowout. Christian Menefee got 69.4% to Al Green's 30.6. It was 70-30.
oh my God. Yeah, time to pack it in, man.
Time to pack it in.
Yeah.
So good
I
luck,
mean,
Al.
Al Green has been there forever too. Let's see. Yeah, keep going. I'm looking that up. Hold on.
All right, I was about to as well. How long has Al Green been in Congress? He's been there a very long time, and we will see him hopefully not anytime soon again.
For over
Unfortunately,
20 years.
20 years.
Yeah, since he assumed office, he won in the 05-04 elections, and then it was Texas 9th. There was some redistricting.
So he started when he was 58 years old. I thought it was even
So he's
more.
been there for a generation. So bye bye.
Yeah. See ya. Good riddance. Happy trails. Someone we will unfortunately likely be seeing in Congress moving forward is James Clyburn in South Carolina, because
Oh.
Republicans in South Carolina have no spines. They're a bunch of pussies. And apparently, the elite class, the buddy-buddy with Democrats, and they don't give a shit about the people who they represent. They just want to hang out with their donors, the lobbyists. They love their free vehicle services and meals. They're uninterested in changing the status quo whatsoever, even though the voters demand on it. Vespa, you've been following this story pretty closely. Who screwed up here?
They did.
Just all
I
the
mean,
Republicans.
look, it's not good when the governor is very non-committal about the whole thing, only at the last minute calling for a special session. It's not good when the leader of the state Senate, Shane Massey, is dead set against it. So, and you saw that. Now, look. Like art, like the U.S. Senate, state senates run the same thing. It's meant to, slow down the process, so to speak. It sailed through the state house. It sailed through the South Carolina State Senate Judiciary Committee, and then it goes to them for debate. There has to be three readings. I'm sure have you been following a former state rep Adam Morgan on this?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, he's been excellent explaining the process. So for people like, why can't it just be done? Well, there's a lot of shit. Every reading, there's a debate, there's a cloture vote to, expedite the debate. So I thought, I mean, let's be honest, there could have been a chance to pass this quickly. But
No appetite for it.
especially when they clinched the second cloture vote on the second reading. But then they adjourned, then they came back, and then the cloture vote failed 24-20. And the reason offered was, well, because early voting began, which is true, but you just don't adjourn. I just now it won't be taken up until next session. Yeah, the way you know that they knew this thing was fucked was the fact that nobody in the governor's office or in the state or state leadership, partly party leadership, gave the Trump White House a heads up that the tide was turning.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of panickins. There's about 12 Republican state senators who sided with Democrats on that last vote, and they think they're safe because the next election cycle for the Senate is in 2028. They're not safe. We won't forget this. John Cornyn thought that, we would forget. No. We'll be waiting in the tall grass. MAGA is patient, and there's no shortage of meat hooks to hang traitors to the party. So.
Amen. All said. Yeah, 2028.
I mean, that is the irony, Corey. I mean, it is the irony, right? Like, early voting was partially the reason why, the map in Virginia got blown up, right? And then, this, it just like, it didn't have to be this way, guys. You could have passed the fucking map. But listen, I understand legal challenges were in the wings. We all know this. Sometimes the most, as we've seen in times past, that sometimes the most reliably red states just don't break our way for whatever reason. Usually, like I just mentioned, internal, like panic and procedural pussies. And it's disappointing, really disappointing.
One thing that's
So it's kind of a mixed bag here, folks. I hate to say it. The South Carolina got derailed. Alabama's map might get, they just asked the Supreme Court to help them implement their 2023 map that they proposed, because the Supreme Court allowed them to push that now, whereas before they were prohibited from a mid-decade redistricting.
I don't understand what's going on in Alabama. Like, it makes no sense to me.
Well, yeah, remember they couldn't do it because before Calais, and then now that that decision was handed down, they're like, okay, fine, we can do it now, right? Here's the 2023 map, and then that panel of judges was like, no, it violates VRA. So now they got to go back to that. which is my, you know, Mississippi, same thing. That there's a district judge who's a little finicky, little James Boasbergish, apparently. So that's why the governor wants to have all the legal stuff out of the way, so he has carte blanche to actually push that map, which is why he called off the special session this year and will do it next year. Georgia will have new legislative and congressional maps, but for 2028. But they have a special session in June. I understand Brian Kemp rubs people the wrong way, but look, at least Republicans there are like, look, let's get it done now, you know, whereas before, you know, because Georgia's kind of slipping away from us, folks, sidebar.
Yeah, it sure is.
So let's get it done now. So I understand that. Tennessee, the maps are good. The maps are good in Louisiana. Maps are good in Florida. So it's kind of, you know, one step forward, maybe a few, two steps back, and then back and forth. So it's look, we should expect this, right? If we take the whole South, the Democrats are truly going to be irrelevant by 2030 when that census kicks in and everything's reapportioned. Yes. So I understand why they're going to fight tooth and nail over this. So,
all right, we'll keep it monitoring and report back next week when we have updates on all of these. I want to pivot a little bit, Vespa, to you see James O'Keefe's video yesterday.
I saw portions of it, man. I was thinking about you being
yeah, well, James O'Keefe, I guess primetime Alex Stein works for James O'Keefe now. I had no idea about that, but it was Alex Stein who was summarizing and narrating this video. The Washington Nationals, they're in a lot of hot water right now, the baseball team and MLB. A guy named Sean Hudson, he's the director of community relations there. And a little backstory, I've mentioned this before, but just as a reminder, I used to work for the Washington Nationals, the baseball team. I was there for 13 years in the marketing department. I was their mascot, Screech. So I was on the field every day. I got to know the players pretty well, back in the tunnel, charity events, hospital visits, that whole kind of thing. So I have a good idea how that organization works, and I have a good idea what the director of community relations does. This is not a guy that I worked with while I was there. It was a woman at the time, but this guy, Sean Hudson, started in 2023, and his basic role was to be the middleman of the team players and community public events. So if we're going to do a children's hospital visit, Sean is going to drive with the players, show up, meet the point of contact at the front, and kind of escort the players through. He's kind of like the middleman. If they got to go, he'll be the bad guy to tell them, that kind of thing. So he's very close with the players, also very close with the community. So this groundbreaking undercover video really exposed the Nationals, and I've seen a lot of this when I was there too, just their liberal bias, their woke ideology. The Nationals have a player named Trevor Williams. He's a relief pitcher, a good pitcher, and by all accounts, a very good guy. He also happens to be Catholic. And according to the Nationals, well, this isn't good. This isn't good for the brand, because it was 2 years ago when the Dodgers hosted the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. That's those big, ugly, fat dudes who dress up as nuns, pretend they're women. It completely mocks the religion. Trevor Williams had a problem with that. He spoke out about it. So Sean Hudson says, because of that, the team is actually penalizing him by not putting him in any promotional videos. They're not advertising him. And this has actual negative effects on the player. You know, their face isn't out there that much. Their jersey doesn't sell as much. Other teams, other scouts see him less, that kind of thing. Take a listen to how Sean Hudson describes what they were doing to this player.
The community relations team, so like corporate social responsibility.
The director of community.
This is Alex Stein setting up the story. You'll hear from Sean Hudson shortly.
Community relations for the Washington Nationals of the MLB reveals unethical behavior within the management of the Washington baseball team, including religious discrimination against a starting pitcher.
One of our pitchers, dude, Trevor Williams, he is very happy. The Dodgers had a group out to the stadium who were drag queens who sometimes dressed up as nuns. He went on like a social media, like, this is wrong, this is my religion, you all are mocking it, because when we don't use him on social, like, when they're like, is a hot dog a sandwich? And like the players come up, you know what I mean? Like, we don't have to.
But
That's complete discrimination and potentially a violation of your.
Potentially a violation of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
Well, yeah, that's Alex Stein explaining to it. His audio is tripping a little bit. So this is completely out of line and completely discriminatory of Catholics. The dude should be fired. What do you think, Vespa? Isn't this absolutely absurd?
Yeah, that's, I mean, you just can't, I mean, that's a lawsuit, first of all. I think that goes without saying. But yeah, I did he should be. The Nats will drag their feet on that, like the South Carolina Republicans on redistricting.
Yeah, if there's one
until
thing I would
the
say,
noise becomes so, like, wow, that they can't ignore it. But like, you can't have someone like that. I mean, that person's a bigot. I mean, if it's whatever, it's what it is.
it's kind of expected in sports, like the way ESPN covers things and all this kind of
Well,
crap.
that, I mean, he sounds like a person who would be more suited for the WNBA, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean
I mean, that's what I mean. Look, I don't really follow that league all that much. I mean, I know Caitlin Clark can play. Sure. I mean, I'll admit it, like, her highlights are good. But did you see, like, they had some sort of event or some shit? She wasn't even on the banner, Corey. Like, that's a, like, I mean, I saw it because, Dave Portnoy of Barstool is a big Caitlin Clark and WNBA fan. And he's like, what are you guys doing? She's like the player that's going to make you relevant. But because she's a white girl, it ain't happening. And I'm just like, yeah, you know what? That's kind of has a point.
Of
That's like,
course,
dude, that's like, I mean, we were just
it's
talking
funny.
about Knicks basketball in the 90s, right? Like, that's like, that's like having a promo for the Bulls and not having Jordan in there.
Totally. And she's made that league so much money and made all the other players so much more money because people are actually finally watching it.
Yeah,
Not,
exactly.
but other people are. It's a big problem. And at the Nationals or sports in general, it's kind of hard to get fired. I don't know, as corporate America seems to be that way. And what do I expect to happen to this Sean Hudson guy? I think it all depends on how Trevor Williams reacts to it. Because if there's one thing I notice is that the baseball side, or probably any team operations side, does have the power over the marketing side, basically when it comes to big decisions, because they want to keep these players happy. They want them on the team. They want them to sign good contracts. They want to win baseball games. If you have a disgruntled player in the clubhouse, that could spread like wildfire, and it's not good for the winning attitude. So however Trevor Williams reacts to this, I think will determine this guy's fate. But the bottom line is that they need to clean out this culture. And I wouldn't be surprised if Trevor Williams forgives this guy, and lets it slide, even though I wouldn't, and I don't think he should. I'll give you a quick example. When I was working at the Nationals, Jason Worth was one of our star players at the time. And I don't know if you remember, Matt, but in 2012, he had a walk-off home run in the NLDS against the Cardinals. It was game four to make it into a, push it to a game five. He had this crazy celebration at home plate where he jumped in the air and he landed on home plate after his home run. But his mouth was open, his hair was flying behind him, and there's a picture that went pretty viral of him, jumping on home plate. Well, years later, the Nats decided to make a bobblehead out of that. And we showed the proofs to Jason Worth. We showed the actual bobblehead and its completion to him, and he approved. He's like, okay, cool, let's do it. The night before that, we were supposed to give out 20,000 bobbleheads. Jason Worth changed his mind. He said, I don't like the way it looks. So the baseball ops department actually called the marketing and say, cancel the giveaway. Sorry, those 20,000 bobbleheads that you have, we have to throw them out somehow. So we did. We wasted thousands and thousands of dollars because one baseball player decided he didn't like the way that he looked. So that's just an example that I think that however Trevor Williams reacts to this is how what will determine his fate. So I want to show one more part of this video where Sean Hudson basically says, screw the fans. It doesn't really matter that they're not on board with our woke ideology.
Give a shit.
I always like just cards on the table. I would define myself as very far left leaning. There is a join the Communist Party poster up in my kitchen. When we go to like my boss's holiday party, we all talk about how left leaning we are. I would love to find ways to every home run is a $100 donation. That's communism. You know what I mean? That's redistributing someone's wealth. So I hope we get there. But what a cool opportunity for us to also be a little bit of like the voice of reason. And a lot of people will tell you, when I come to a baseball game, I don't want to think about that shit. If you're a sports fan, we piss you off. Where else are you going to go?
So this is now just insulting the fans. Not only is he discriminating against a Catholic player, but he's decided to insult the fans altogether. Like, oh, well, you guess you're shit out of luck. What are you going to do, go to Baltimore? I don't think that plays well with the fans. I'm going to see some people canceling their season tickets after this, I think.
And fans would drive to Baltimore for a baseball game.
Yeah.
It's not that far. Why does he think it's like the Oregon Trail to go to fucking Baltimore? People
have a choice.
Yeah, you can drive there. You can take public transportation from Union Station. Like, also, Corey, I know you work there. No, but let's be honest, Camden Yards is a beautiful ballpark.
So. Oh, it's a nice, much nicer.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's in the middle of a fucking war zone, like Baghdad, 2005. But it's you know what I mean.
That's parks becoming that way too with the teen takeovers of Navy Yard. However, it's not just Baltimore. Feel
like it's like Will Smith and I Am Legend. Get the fuck off the streets by sundown. Yeah, you're right about that. It's bad.
But it's not even just you know, find a team in Baltimore. They can go to a Redskins game instead, or Capitals or Wizards, whatever. You can kind of, you have an energy for sports, you can direct it somewhere else. But the Nationals, I mean, I remember in 2019 during the World Series, it was game five. There was a lot of like questions whether Donald Trump was going to be throwing out the first pitch. He was president at the time, obviously. Lots of like uneasiness in the office because you have to give him the invite, yet you hope he doesn't accept, because we all hate him here, not me obviously, and our fans all hate him. So what are we supposed to do? Well, it turns out the Nats caught a break. Donald Trump declined the invitation. He said it was because of security reasons. He didn't want to hold up the lines, and honestly, it would have been a shit show had he been there. So what did the Nats do instead? They invited Chef Jose Andres, who, of course, at the time was feuding with Donald Trump about immigration. You know, Jose Andres thinks that Donald Trump is anti-immigrant. He thinks there should be open borders and everyone should be here no matter what. He also was feuding with Donald Trump over his restaurant in Trump's hotel in D.C. at the time. And he backed out of the deal because of Trump's immigration policies. So the Nats did a little, you know, FU to Trump, and invited his rival so that Donald Trump could watch him at a game, be recognized. I hate it. And I remember so many times up in the production meetings, you know, the announcer would be cheering, like fist bumping when Jen Psaki was throwing out the first pitch. He'd do that extra voice, that extra, "Now, please welcome." And, you know, if a Republican was there, it would be like, "Oh, direct your attention to the third baseline." You know, like Star Wars theme music would be playing, the bad guys. Our DJ, he's a left-wing radical. He was the guy who tried doxing me on Reddit after some people were offended by my patriotic boat flag. So anyway, it's a big, long culture issue, not just in Washington Nationals. They're the ones who got caught this weekend, but in sports in general. So, Vespa, if your New York Knicks come out with a scandal in the next 7 days, I'm going to be a Spurs or Thunder fan.
No, no.
All right. I think we should wrap it up about there. It's been, sure, been a lot of fun episode. Anything you're focusing on the rest of the day, Vespa?
Just covering the, you know, MAGA's not dead. You know, remember that narrative? MAGA's obviously not. I mean, have you seen Trump's revenge tour lately? So that, some redistricting stuff. Trump maybe going to the NBA finals and stuff like that, like we discussed. And yeah, just catching the, you know, catching whatever falls, man. You know, the federal judge saying the Tennessee maps can stay. And circling back to, you know, Trump had his, I think he had his physical yesterday. And we have some people saying that, like, he falls asleep a lot or something. I don't know. You see on CNN? And then Rapid 47 did an excellent job of screenshotting everyone on CNN as they're blinking. Yeah. So they're like, this person looks sleepy. What's going on here?
Hilarious. This is just another left-wing fake scandal of the day. It's all that.
Yeah.
Well, If you enjoyed Triggered and want it uncensored, become a Town Hall VIP member at townhallvip.com. You can use promo code FIGHT for 60% off your membership in this exclusive club of patriots. Don't forget, 5-star ratings and reviews go a long way to helping us beat the big tech algorithm. If you'd like to reach out, email us at triggered@townhall.com. And I will end with Go New York, Go New York, Go.
Let's go.
Go Knicks. See you next
I'm
week.
I'm so buddy. Fucking excited, man. I can't wait till June 3rd. I might have a whole week off.
We'll see if we're in a good mood next week.
Yeah, we'll see.